they saw, Gad and Reuben. They saw all that land and that grass. They said, behold, this is a place for cattle. And the children of Gad and Reuben came to Moses and to Eleazar, the priest, who had replaced Aaron at this time, and to the princes of the congregation. And in verse 3, he mentions these cities. It says in verse 4, and even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel is a land for cattle. And thy servants, we have a lot of cattle. Man, we like it here, Moses. We like this land. Wherefore, said they, this is Gad and Reuben, if we have found grace in your sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for possession, and bring us not over Jordan. We won't go over Jordan. We'll just stay here. Man, this is cattle country. We got lots of cows. I know our purpose. I know the promise, but we like it here. We think we'll just stay here on this east side of Jordan. Can you imagine if you were Moses then? He's 120 years old. Lord's already told him he's going to die. He doesn't get to go in. He's put up with this band of murmurs and complainers and bellyachers for 40 years. And finally he got his job done. He got him right here to the banks of the Jordan River, and right over there is Jericho. And God has been faithful. Now we are ready to fulfill our purpose. And Gad and Reuben come up and say, Moses, we know all that. We know about our fathers, and we know about the promises, and we know about the blessings, but we like it right here. It's cattle country. We like it right here. I believe the old man Moses, 120 now, soon to die. Oh, I believe he lost it. I really do. I believe he was one upset character. But let's see how he answered it. And Moses said unto the children of Gad and Reuben, and the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall you sit here? I'd like for you to underline that in your Bible. I underlined that in my Bible many times. Many years ago. Shall your brethren go to war while you sit here? That's what we want to talk about. Sitting on the east side of Jordan while your brethren go to war. We want to talk about that. And Moses, I believe he couldn't believe what he was hearing. He said, are you going to sit here while your brethren go to war? And notice in verse 7, wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel. You're going to discourage the other 10 tribes. Now later we're going to see that half of Manasseh also end up over on the east side. We'll talk about that in a little bit. And then Moses begins to give them a little history lesson, and you know it. But he said, you're doing just what your fathers did there in verse 8. I sent those spies over and they wouldn't go in. And as a result of that, they all died. And he says, except Joshua and Caleb, there we see in verses 11 and 12. He says, and the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel. And they all died, and they wandered for 40 years. Now you come to verse 14, after that history lesson. He says, and behold, now you are risen up in your father's stead, or in your father's place, and are increased of sinful. You're worse than your fathers, he's saying. To augment yet the fierce anger of the Lord toward Israel. For if you turn away from after him, he will yet again leave them in the wilderness. And you, Gad and Reuben, shall destroy all this nation. Oh, Moses is hard on them. You want to sit here while your brethren go to war? You're going to discourage the rest of them? You're going to bring God's wrath on the rest of the tribes? You actually are going to cause the death of this nation because you'd rather sit on the east side of Jordan? And the Gad and Reuben went, wow, I didn't realize that. I didn't know that was the consequence. I didn't know what was happening here. And they said, Moses, we'll go fight. We really like this land. We'll leave our children here. We'll leave all these fine cows we got. We'll leave them here. And we'll go fight the fight. We'll go fight the fight, but then let us come back. And Moses says in verse 20, okay, if you'll go before, if you'll lead this fight. And verse 20, and all of you go armed over Jordan and subdue the land there in verse 22. Then afterwards you can return and be guiltless. But then he goes, but if you will not do so in verse 23, then be sure your sin will find you out. You are guilty if you'll not do that. So they'd already fought several battles there. They just defeated the five kings of the Midianites, and they're getting ready to fight the folks there in Gilead, and they just won all that, and now across Jordan, you can see Jericho over there, and that was their first big battle. You know that. That was their first big battle. That was going to be a tough one. Of course, you know the story. And then right up the road was Ai. That was a battle. They lost that one, then won it. And then just down the road at Hebron, that's where the sons of Anak were. Those were the giants that scared the first generation off. So there were a lot of battles to be fought. But they said, no, we'll just stay here. We're comfortable. We just like where we are. And, of course, I read to you how upset Moses got with them. But now I want you to notice about, he said, be sure your sin will find you out. Well, what sin was that? Now, Gad and Reuben, and I said later half of Manasseh, they didn't have evil intentions. Their guilt wasn't in what they did. I mean, as you know, they just, you know, we like it here. We're just going to sit here. So it wasn't some grievous, vile, wicked sin that they committed. The sin wasn't in what they did. The sin was in what they didn't do. So let's look now just for a few minutes. What were Gad and Reuben's sins? Apathy, indifference, self-centeredness, selfishness, complacency. I'm just thinking about myself. Wow. It wasn't that they were being mean or wicked or they said they had a purpose. They had a calling. God had a plan for them. But instead of obeying that, they chose instead to say, we'll just sit here. We're kind of complacent. We're apathetic. We're self-centered. We're just going to stay right here. Now, I'll let you draw your own conclusions. I'm just telling you about Gad and Reuben's sin. But let's look at the others. The other sin, that they were looking at the physical at the expense of the spiritual. Now, the physical is necessary. You have, you know, those cattle needed grass. Those cattle needed water. But they had a higher calling than feeding and watering cattle. They were a destined, chosen nation when God called Abraham out. And they chose instead to look at the physical and neglect the spiritual. Let's look at what else they were. My, they were a discouragement to others. When they said, yeah, I know, man, there's some big battles going on over there. And I know that's a beautiful land. And I know that's our calling. And I know that's our purpose. But Dan and Benjamin and Judah, you guys go ahead. We're going to stay here. What do you think those other tribes? And in fact, somewhere along they must have talked to Manasseh and said, Manasseh, we're not going. We're going to stay here. We really like it here on the east side. And Manasseh said, man, but we got a purpose. But look at this, Manasseh. Man, you know, you're right. I think I'll stay here with you. They were a discouragement because they were so self-centered and selfish and complacent that they discouraged everyone else. Their inactivity discouraged those that were in the battle, going to do the battle. And let's also look. They were a negative influence. He said, you're going to discourage them. You're going to drag them down. Moses said, you're going to cause them to die because there's a battle to be fought. There's a land to be taken. There's a job to do. And you're not going to do it. And because you won't do it, you're going to influence others not to do it. And you're going to discourage others. And many are going to perish. Not because of some grievous sin of what you did, but the sin of omission, the sin of apathy, the sin of indifference. But Moses got their attention. Now, I won't have time to come back to these points, but I want you to remember those about discouraging others and being a negative influence, causing others to perish, about the sin of apathy. You see, God's plan and their purpose was to inhabit the promised land. But Gad and Reuben were content to sit here on the east side of Jordan. Now, that's a great story. But I tell you, when I read that, that moved me. That moved me about sitting idle while my brethren were at war. And I began to think about the fact that we're in a war. We're in a war between the forces of good and evil. God and the devil. Right and wrong. Heaven and hell. And you are a soldier in that war. When you accepted Christ, you signed up. But too often as believers, we're satisfied to comfortably sit on the east side of Jordan and let someone else go and do it. And sit idly while our brethren go to war. While our purpose, our satisfaction, our fulfillment is over on the other side of Jordan. Now we're in a war, and you're a soldier. And I want to talk to you now about five areas. It's one war. It is the war that the devil hates God. And the devil cannot defeat God. But the only way he can get to God is to get to you. He wants to defeat you. And we have a war raging on five fronts. Or maybe there's more. But I want to very quickly cover these with you. And I don't have time to fully develop them, but just let's kind of hang on. Here we know that the Bible teaches us that we must contend for the faith. Paul told Timothy to fight the good fight. We're told to put on the whole armor of God that we can stand against the fiery darts of the devil. All of those are soldier illustrations. Finally, Paul said, I fought a good fight. He had a long life of battle and of war. You're in a war. Understand you're in a war. And as the battle is raging, now are you putting on the armor of God and you're saying, let's cross Jordan, let's go fight that devil? Or are you content to sit idly on the east side of Jordan and say, Pastor, you go do it. Or staff, you go do it. Or deacons, I'm praying for you, you go do it. Or do you do it where you be like Gad and Reuben ultimately said, I didn't realize that. I'll go fight that fight. But this war is raging on five fronts. And let me talk about it. The first battle that you are raging is in your mind. It's the battle between your flesh and your spirit. Oh, the Apostle Paul said it there in Romans chapter 7. I mean, I can't believe that when I read that about the greatest of the apostles. He said, you know, when I want to do good, I don't do it. And when I don't want to do wrong, I end up doing it. He said, oh, there's warfare that's going on in my flesh. He goes, oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from this? Paul said, I've got a warfare going on in me. I've got a tug. My flesh is pulling me this way. But in my spirit, I want to serve the Lord, and the spirit is pulling me this way, and I get pulled this way, and I get pulled that way. With this battle in my mind, in my spirit, I so want to please God. But in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, Paul said in that same chapter. Can you relate to that? I can. Hey, I've been walking with the Lord for 42 years. He was describing me. I have a battle that goes on in my flesh. The Lord knows in my spirit I want to serve Him and love Him with all of my heart. But you know, I find myself, why did I think that? Why did I give that a second look? I'm a Christian. What happened there? And you see, there's this warfare going on in your mind. And let me say, I told you I'm going to talk about five warfares here, five battlefronts. But let me tell you this, if you don't win this battle, you won't win any of the rest of them. You know, we had this, and I don't, without naming this great preacher that fell here just 3 or 4 weeks ago. I'm here to tell you, he lost the battle in his mind before a sin was ever committed. Lust, when it is conceived, brings forth sin. All right, so what this battle that's going on, the one you feed will win. You feed the flesh will win. You feed the spirit, and the spirit will win. You are bombarded by negative influences on every hand. Just turn your TV on. And in 5 minutes, you will see or hear something it was not good for you. You get on the internet and just surf for 5 minutes. And there it is. Negative influences. Negative influences. The music that we hear, I mean, it's just around us. The whole culture of our day is so saturated with sexual innuendo that you can't get away from it. All the secular humanism that just bombards us all around. And all of that is feeding your flesh. And you will lose that battle unless you feed your spirit. And you feed your spirit by, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter, be not drunk with wine where is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. You must counteract these negative influences by positive influences. The Bible says in Colossians, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Pastor preached on it this morning. It's important that you counteract these negative forces because of the battle in your mind. And as men, listen to me. As men, you must take the lead in your family. Because you could be innocent, not doing anything wrong, have no ill intentions. But I'm here to tell your little children, they're getting bombarded on every hand. And you must create an environment where the spirit is fed. Otherwise, you will lose the battle in your mind. The Bible says, whatsoever things are lovely and pure and just and honest and praiseworthy, what's he say? Think on these things. But you say, and I say, but I can't think on these things all the time. I want to think about these things, but oftentimes bad thoughts, even vile thoughts will go through my, why is that? How is that? Hey, let me give you a scripture that I stumbled across. In Proverbs 16:3, write this down. Learn this. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your works, listen to this, commit your works unto the Lord and your thoughts will be established. Now we know that thoughts produce actions. No action is ever produced that it's not first thought about. Thoughts produce action. But Proverbs says, I can't always control what I think, but I can control what I do. That's a choice. And here he says, if you'll commit your works unto the Lord, Your thoughts will be established. You end up thinking about what you're doing. That's why it's so important that you get involved in Christian activities. Because now you're committing your works to the Lord. And then your thoughts will follow behind that. Then you can think about things that are lovely, pure, and virtuous, and praiseworthy, and honest, and all those things. But if you just say, I'm just going to think about honest and pure, you won't. So you commit your work to the Lord. You have choice on that. And then your thoughts will follow. All right, let's move on very quickly. So there's a battle for your mind. There's a battle for your family. The family is being attacked as it has never been. I mean, the very definition of a family is who would have ever thought in your lifetime that someone would stand up and say two men is a family, two men living together is a family? For 6,000 years, you go to Genesis chapter about 2 or 3 and you'll see a man and a woman and children, and that's always been a family. But the family is under attack. And you are in a war and you will lose your family if you're like Gad and Reuben and you just sit idly by and hope that let someone else teach them, let someone else train them, let someone else. No, you get in the war. And you tell the devil, you're not getting my kids. You're not getting my wife. And it comes by you being the leader in your household. You lead the devotions. You say the prayers. You tell them what God's word says. You're the pastor of that house. Do not sit idly. You defend your family. It burns me up when I see these little kids without a dad. When I see this, the drugs and the alcohol and the perversion that these little kids have to experience and go through. Because too many dads are sitting idly on the east side of Jordan while there's a war raging. Children born out of wedlock. Couples living together. The ease of divorce. The family's just one choice. No, that's God's first institution. And the devil knows if he can defeat the family, the church doesn't have a chance. If he defeats the family, the battle's over and he has won. Men, fight for your family. Do not sit idly on the east side of Jordan. You say, the old devil, you may get somebody else's family, but you're not getting mine. I'm going to put all my effort and my energy in raising my boys and my girls. Because it's one of the greatest callings God's given me. Men, don't sit idly by. Love your wives. We always think about love as an emotion. Love is an action word. Go to Corinthians chapter 13. That'll tell you what everything's about doing. It's not about feeling. Love your wives. Love your children. And let's move on. Let's finish here. The third battle's for the church. There's a battle for the church. You know, approximately 4,000 churches in America shut down every year. I read last night, it said 1,500 pastors leave the work monthly. Unbelievable. Denominations are at all-time low. Young people have just quit church. Hey, listen, we're in a battle for our church. And listen, some of us, we're content to have won the victory of salvation. Another victory maybe of even a baptism. A victory of I'm a member. And then I'll just sit right there. No, there's a war to be fought. You need to get into the fight. You need to be active. You need to support your pastor. You need to say to the pastor, what can I do? I want to be active because I want this church to be a vibrant, soul-saving station for God. And I'm not going to be a discouragement to my brothers. I'm going to take the lead. And I'm going to give. And I'm going to go. And I'm going to do. I'm not going to let my church fail. Get in the fight. And fight for your church. The fourth area is a battle for our country. I don't have time to talk about that, but it amazes me that one after another, we see the pillars that made this country great just get toppled over. The history books are being changed. Our great heritage we're losing. And in a generation, we will see young people that don't even know our history the way it really was. And if we don't fight for our country, we're going to lose it. Now, I know about grace, and I know about love, and I know about kindness, and I know about forgiveness, but we better fight for our country, or we're going to lose it. I don't have time to go on about it, because there's so much, but get in a fight for your country. Don't be passive. Don't sit idly on the east side of Georgia. Fight for this country. And then finally, the fifth one, the battle for lost souls. The last thing Jesus told us, there in Matthew 28, Mark 16, Acts chapter 1, he said, I want you to go. Go. I want you to preach. I want you to teach. I want you to baptize. The whole world. There's 7 billion people in the world. It is said that about 2 billion of that 7 billion are Christians. And by our definition of Christian, it would probably be much lower than 2 billion. But there's 2 billion people that have never even heard the name of Jesus. Don't even know who he is. There's 1 billion people in the world that's severely malnourished or starving to death. There's 150 million orphans in this world. And too many of us are content to sit idly on the east side of Jordan and say, you go ahead. Pastor, I'm praying for you. Deacons, man, you go do it. I'm proud of you. I'll just sit here while you go fight that fight. There's fewer and fewer missionaries. There's many churches shutting down. But we can change that. Gad and Reuben did. They said, Moses, I realize now, I'll join the fight. I'll join the fight. And folks, I've kind of been hard on you, but I'm one of you. Hey, at my house, I got the most comfortable recliner you could ever sit in. And I got a nice fireplace, and I've got a big screen TV, and I got my remote control. And that's one of my favorite spots on earth. It is. To just lay back in that recliner and watch college football or a good old John Wayne movie, not think about anything, and I could just sit there for hours. I could. Until Numbers 32 comes to my mind. That says, will you sit here while all those battles are raging? And I say, no, Lord, I'll go fight. I'll go fight. Thank you for choosing me. Thank you for the privilege of letting me be in your army. Lord, I'll not sit idly while my brethren go to war. I'll fight with them. I'll lock arms with them. I'll do what I can in my own small way, Lord. Because I want to make you proud. I'll join the fight. East side? Which side? Which side? East side? Are you satisfied on the east side of Jordan? Or are you willing to go get in that fight? Hey, go on one of these mission trips. It'll change your life. Get busy doing what God's Word says. It'll change your life radically. And you'll be happier along the way. And I could preach on and on. You guys are a great audience. I tell you, start amen, I can't quit, but I'm out of time. I'm out of time. Thank you so much. Get in a fight. Hear me? Get in a fight.